Just a couple of hours from yesterday, question that Ephraim asked me. Ephraim here? Okay. So the great question Ephraim asked yesterday, what was Pshat with the Gemara that had a Havamina to think you could use these peppers as Esrog? Doesn't the Mishnah say there's a sheer Esrog of Kibetza Kagos? Clearly well, the peppers are much smaller than those. What was the Gemara thinking? So we're not going to get into the sugya now, but there is a machlokes rishonim, and the footnotes in the Tosfos Rush go into a lengthy discussion. Maybe one time we give a shear on this. Whether the shear of esrog is really like a typical shear. Normally we need a size of the shear is normally about the size of something, but he suggests, based on rishonim, that the shear by esrog is not really a din. Jake knows it's not a din in the size, but...
Gemar Pri.
That how do you know you have to use a pre, something that's complete, that's fully developed and ripe. So how do you know when an esrog is ripe? So apparently the Mishnah tells us the size of it tells us that's the indicator when it's fully ripe. By a pepper, so it's ripe when it's much smaller than that. You don't need the shear in size. It's rather shear in being completely ripe and developed.
It's possible to say that pre each other means min. You say it's lashon yachid, so you know, you want one min, would you say pre?
Could you say, what are you trying to suggest?
The initial was you can't throw three.
Right.
Pepper, because minimum size. You're not going to get the eggs. Can you say, when you say pre et sadar, it's referring to a single min, single type of fruit?
Like, you could take three eggs.
Take three peppers, and that would equal to one pre, one min, one type of fruit.
Well, the Gemara dealt with that. So, no.
And the Gemara says explicitly. That definitely explicitly says no. You're suggesting why not? The Gemara makes a drush. The Gemara doesn't really. It's clear, unclear what the drush is. It says Gemara quotes echad amar rahmana. The pasuk narrowly says echad, but it means to say that I think the Torah is in the singular that you need dafka, just one. So you're suggesting, well, as long as you have one min, who cares how many of the minim you have? I'm not sure. The Gemara doesn't learn that way. So I don't know. Okay, fine. The second question we had yesterday was, many guys asked this question about this bryce, the red mayor and the arla. As we said, the pilpul must be one of the, must be chayv and arla because the bark and fruit taste the same. And then the bryce goes on to say some Gaddic statement about, vein Eretz Yisrael chasever klum. Eretz Yisrael lacks nothing. Shenem marlo sechsar kolba. So what does that have to do with anything? So the kapos tamarim, one of the most important achronim on Sukkah, he addressed this question. He says, well, why once, he says, once we have the Dina Arla, Lama Zed Darish Mile Da Agada, why are we having his Dina Da Agada, Shein Eretz Yisrael Chasera Klum? So he writes as follows, that if peppers wouldn't grow in Eretz Yisrael, so that you wouldn't be able to make the drasha of Eitz Macha. Only once we know that Eretz Yisrael grows everything, including peppers, then it is understandable that the we can make the drasha of Eitz Machal referring to peppers, the Chiv Arla in Eretz Yisrael. The problem is, of course, the it would be out of order. The Brisa should have first said that, oh, Eretz Yisrael is missing nothing, and then have the special drasha including peppers as a Chiv Arla. Yet the Brisa is opposite. The Brisa says it's a Chiv Arla by Pilpulin, and then in addition it writes that Eretz Yisrael lacks nothing. Okay, fine. So that's only really answer I saw on that question. Fine. So let's go weiter now in the next sugya of bilis b'isur hana. How do we understand exactly what's the requirement of bilis by lulav and esrog? What constitutes bilis in general in halacha? How do we understand isur hana? Things that are forbidden. How much do we understand those things? What types of bilis can one have on isur hana? So let's spend some time in the Gemara and the Rashi here. So the Gemara in the middle of Lamed Hayom and Aleph, by the two dots, quoting Shel Arla Pasul. So this is going back to the Mishnah. We didn't read the Mishnah yesterday. We're going to, hopefully, the Gemara is going to analyze each line. So one of the Mishnah on Lamed Dalam and Beis lists all the psulim and all those that which are kasher for an esrog. And one of those listed as a psul by an esrog is Shel Arla. An esrog that's grown in the first 3 years, you can't eat the first 3 years of fruit. You could eat in the fourth year you bring to Yerushalayim, as we said yesterday. In the fifth year, you could eat anywhere you want. So esrog shel arla is usur, and therefore it's pasul for an esrog. So the Mishnah, the Gemara wants to know, Laman, hey, my time. What's the reason why arla is pasul? Pligi ba Rabbi Chia bar Avin v'Rabbi Asi. Chad amar lefish ein ba heter achila v'chad amar lefish ein ba din mamon. One says because it lacks the ability to eat it, and one says because it lacks the din mamon. So what's behind that? Who says you need such din mamon, you need heter achila? So Rashi tells us, Rashi writes, Lefisha ein ba heter achila, Rachman omar lachem. Right, the pasuk says lakachtum lachem ba yom rishon. When it comes to dal aminu, you have to own it. You can't borrow a lulav or an esrog on the first day. You have to actually own it. It says Rachman Amar lachem. It says you have to own the esrog haroi lachem b'chol darchei hana. So it has to be something fit for you in all types of hana. And since you wouldn't be able to eat arla, it would be would not be considered lachem. Then Rashi writes, what does it mean lafi she'ein ba din mamon? She'eino shava pruta, it has no value. The isure hanahu hilkach lav shelachem. Since it has no value and it's aser b'hana, you can't get any benefit from it. Therefore, disqualified, it's not lachem. So what are these two days? What's the lamdas? What are they exactly arguing about? The definition of lachem. These two opinions in the Gemara. Anybody have any suggestions? Yes, that's what you said this morning. What does it mean? Din agavra din lachefsa.
He can't use this thing, and then the other case is that the thing cannot be used.
Exactly. So as I've been saying, they said this three morning said as well, that the in understanding bilis in general, how is bilis understood? Is bilis understood as something that that's take it from this perspective. Let's talk Isser Hana. How is Isser Hana? Is saying Isser Hana as the Chefta, as an object that lacks something, we'll go through different opinions in the Rishonim, that the Chefta somehow is inaccessible. It's, let's say, to use Rashi's Lashon, Eino Shava Pruta, it has no value, and therefore this object is meaningless. So I can't use it as an Isser because it's meaningless, it has no value to it. And that's the Din of the Chefta that Evan's referring to. And that's the pshat of lefish ein ba mamon. That's that man the amr lefish ein ba mamon. It has no shavapruta. It's a psul nechepsa, or is it psul negavra? That isra no. What does isra no mean? That I can't get any use as a gavra. I can't use it in any way. I have no hishamshus to it. I can't access this chepsa midin the gavra. And therefore, since I cannot eat it, and Rashi says lachem requires bechol darche hana, so I have to have the ability to use every hana possible as lachem. So therefore, midin gavra, it's possible midin gavra. That's why it's lacking lachem.
There's no achila, doesn't mean there's no hana.
Right, but Rashi says you have to have entire all hanas have to be mutter. For it to be lachem, I have to have every hana possible. Since even though I might be able to sell the esrog, the fact that I can't get achila, that disqualifies it from being lachem. So these two mandamram again seem to argue about how do you understand Isra Ana? Is it Isra Ana a psul nechepsa that eino shava pruta, or is it psul negavra that I'm unable to access it to get any hana from that?
So if you just explain why that means it's not yours, if something doesn't have any value, if I have focus, doesn't have any value, why doesn't it have mine?
All right. So I just explained. So there are two points. That's bilis and Isser Hana. We just explained what's Isser Hana, and he only wants to know why. How does that translate into bilis now? Just because something is inaccessible, just because something has no value, why does that not make it mine?
Because it can't be owned. It can't be acquired.
Why can't it be acquired?
You can't get bilis over it if it's not. If it has no value and it's incapable to be like accessed, and you can't own it. It's impossible. There's no kin that could. Like,
well, I could have Arlo's in my backyard. I have an apple tree in my backyard, and it's Aser Bahana, but it's in my backyard. It seems to be owned by me.
There is a sort of form of bilis over, but it's not bilis necessary to make it lachem.
Right, so it's maybe some type of.
To a certain degree.
Right, so it might be some ownership, but it's not a full ownership that's low required level. By lachem, some low level lachem.
If somebody steals it, and they say that it's not really stolen.
Right, exactly. They steal it, not really stolen. So it's that's why it might be some level bilis, not full bilis. Let's say even a little clearer before we even get to Yoni's question. Again, Yoni's just pointing out, we just addressed how to define, how to understand Isser Hana. But we want to know how that affects Lachem. I could still own something that's Aser Bana. Before we explain that further, let's just see the Shitas Ritva, how he argues, and then we'll try to connect the bilis and Isser Hana. So Rashi's key line here is that since it's Aser B'Hana, Lav Shelachem. Since it's Aser B'Hana, I have no ownership. It doesn't qualify as Lachem. But the Ritva here which I assume most of you saw. Was there it for say? Anybody want to tell me? What? Right. So, but in before his shot of the Gemara, what is his? What is he?
He basically say, I think that it's not like what we would say. It's just because there is a Israel now doesn't mean it won't be lachem.
Exactly. It doesn't mean sorry, it won't be lachem.
Right.
Right. I mean, you could still have something that's aser bana. As Yoni said, also saying aser bana, yet it is still considered lachem. Where did that ritva go? Oh, it's back in the Mishnah, right? He quotes in the Mishnah, right? That's where it was. Right, so he quotes quotes the Shita's Ravid, which is really, you know, the same thing as Rashi, that Dechevin de Lesbehu Heter Achila V'din Mamon V'Havle Yisrei Hana, since it's Aser Ba'ana, Lo Krina Be'lachem. It's not considered a Lachem, and that's Shita's Rashi, and the footnote points out this is Rashi also early in the Masechta, Chav Zayin Amud Beis. But Ritva asks two questions, and his second question, he says, the chol shu shelo ve'ein bo la'acher mishus v'zuchus lachem v'zuchus lachem kinebe. Anything that is under my, you know, my I guess auspices, ve'ein bo la'acher, and there's not for the others mishus, it's still considered lachem. I can still have lachem, even though others don't have mishus. Even though, in other words, he's saying saying the aser ba'ana could still be considered lachem. So that's what the Ritva says. So what's Nachokas Rashi Ritva is basically what Yoni's asking. Right, any suggestions? So I think it's along the same lines as similar to what we said by Isser Ana, the Primosha here, which I put on the end of the Mar Makomos in the Primosha on Sefer Kinyanim, Simin Beis, he has a whole discussion here about Bailus in general. And kinyanim. Now, how much are kinyanim and bailus about having a title of something? When you, let's say, buy a house, so they give you a title of the house. So I have the ownership. My name goes to this house. And there's also the ability to use the house. Car, you have a title for the car. It's in under my name. I also use the car. Those are the two aspects. You got something to say, Tan? I thought you. So you have again the title of something, and you also have the ability to use. And he proves to kinyanim, this is a very important theme in kinyanim and other dini mamnus, how much is it about the title, and how much is it about hishamshus. So it seems that the Ritva and the Rashi are arguing the same point. That Rashi writes, since it's aser ba'ana, in other words, I cannot use it in any way. I can't eat it, I can't sell it, I can't give it to my animals to eat, I can't give it to avadim, there's no way for me to use it for myself or to others, it's inaccessible, there's no usage. That doesn't qualify as lachem. There's no bailus. Bailus for Rashi is defined by hishtamshus, the ability to use it. Something aser bana that is unable to be used, therefore cannot be considered lachem. And what would the Ritva say? The Ritva says no. Bailus is not defined by hishtamshus, the ability to use something and access something. Bailus is defined by having the title, owning it. I could have it in the backyard, an apple tree that is mine, I just can't use it. That's considered lachem still. By kinyanim also. So the Primosh has a whole discussion in general about kinyanim, and he brings on the Simon Bey's Os Gimel. He discusses this topic in particular, Isser Hana, whether this bailus, he connects it to this very issue.
There, just yeah. Talk about another, are there any other areas where that comes up? And just, for example.
I mean, the title versus his shamshus. He quotes other things. I didn't read through all of them here. Off the top of my head or not, and I didn't read through all his pieces. There are, but afterwards I could look through, we could discuss the other examples and models he uses for that chakir. But that's the chakir by Bailus. And that seems to be what the Ritva and what Rashi are arguing about. So now back to understanding Isser Hana, though. Isser Hana. So we addressed again the Chepsa, the Gavra, chakira. Is Isser Hana something that's psul in the Chepsa, psul in the Gavra? So if the psul and the chefsa, what are different formulations you could think of how it could be somehow this chefsa is possible? It's aser ba'ana, it doesn't work for eser, in general. So if some of you saw the Tosos in Sota, that one line, what the Tosos in Sota say, Chaf Heim and Aleph, how do you define Isser Hana? He writes, on Chaf Hemer Beis, he has one line, he writes that Mishum de iser ha nahu velo havi ela ka'afra da'ara ba'alma. It's simply ka'afra da'ara. It's not an object. It's like the word. It's nothing. It's really zero. It's like dirt. And since something asur bana is like dirt, and therefore it would not work. He's not talking about esrog. He's talking about in general. How do you understand isur bana? And therefore it translates over to esrog. The reason why you can't use esrog is because it's ka'afra ba'alma. It's not an esrog. It's a ka'afra ba'alma. Yeah.
Therefore, it's like that second day in Rashi that it has no value to it.
Ah, what's the? So I think it's different.
Okay.
Right. So Rashi says, "Ein bo shava pruta." That's the line he says, right? "Ein bo shava pruta." Right. It has no value. So I think this is different. It's also I think Rashi agrees. It's also psul nechefta, but it's different conceptually than the Shita Tosfos, because Rashi may agree it's an esrog. It's not ka'afra ba'alma, it's an esrog, but ein bo shava pruta, it has no value to it. One of the things necessary for an esrog, you have to have a din mamon, a lachem, when it comes to bailus, owning something. Bailus is in the area, the realm of money. So even though this might be called an esrog, to be considered lachem, an ownership in a monetary level, you need to have din mamon as well. So I think Tosfos and Rashi would argue that point. Again, Tosfos thinks it's kafir ba'alma. It's not even an esrog. It's nothing. Rashi would think it is an esrog, but it lacks monetary value, and therefore it's not considered lachem. But both psul nechefta, but differently. Yeah.
Is there any conceivable circumstances in which, according to Rashi, that esrog could be used again, and Tosfos would say, no, it's afra bar, afra all the time now? It can't be.
What do you mean?
Maybe.
I'm trying to think of a nafka mina.
I mean,
right.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I'm trying to think, is there a case where Rashi...
Rashi would say this status of Isser Anah could be removed and then Miriam and Esra would still...
Yes, so not in... By, I'm not sure, in some area of Lach, I can't think of something right now, but something that you would not require Lachem.
Okay.
But you would require a pre.
Right.
Let's say any of the Dini Zeraim. Whatever they are, so you have a pre for Rashi, you have a pre, and this would be chayv and whatever zeram topic you're talking about. Let's say trumas maisos. I don't know enough about isra na, but something like that. And Tosfos said no, isra na is really kafir ba'ama. It won't qualify as a pre. That wouldn't be chayv and trumas and maisos, if you will. I don't know if it's good enough for me, but that's like something. If you want to look for something, that's where you would look. Someone. So that's both Shitas Rashi and Shitas Tos Rashi and Tosfos in Sukkah. Tosfos and Sota, rather. Now, there's a third approach, you could say, how to understand Isser or Nah. I think we suggested before, I didn't see anybody who said this, I didn't do enough research on Isser or Nah, but I think it's out there that something Asr Bahana is considered Esrog. It does have a value of Shavapruta, but since it's Asr B'Hishtamshus, you can't access it, you can't use it, that's why it's considered Asr Bahana. But as a chefza, it has value. As a chefza, it is considered a pri. Right? And it's really a din, a psul, and the gavra. Isser or nah. Right? So those are three approaches we have in isser or nah. Either it's kafir ba'alma, it's nothing. Or it's an esrog, but ain't a shaprutah, but it has no value. Or it really has both of them. It is an esrog. It is a does have value. But since it lacks the shamshus, it's considered asr or nah, and therefore disqualified for whatever halachas, dalam minimum, any other halachas. You're talking about.
That would change machlokas then, huh? It wouldn't be din in the gavra, din in the chefs anymore.
What's
that? Isra now is din in the gavra also.
You have to line the yeshidas up, meaning you have to first understand what you require for bailus. So that's what I require for bailus. I have to have hishamshus. That's my criteria for hishamshus. I have to be able to use it. So then lechora, you'd have to say the isra now problem would also be a problem in Hishamshus. Isra Na is about when it's inaccessible. Right? Because the Gemara here, Rashi, and the Gemara seems to assume that anything Asr Ba'na is not considered Lachem. So if Lachem, it means I have to be able to use it. So Isra Na must be also defined by something that's unable to be used. But if you assume the other way, Lachem really is defined by having the title, just owning it, not being able to use it, but owning it. So Isra Ba'na has to somehow disqualify the ability of ownership, that it's really ka'afra ba'alma, maybe. That it's nothing, it's not an object, it's like dirt. You don't have ownership on a dirt. you have to probably link those two questions up together. That's why these two are very related. Bilus in general and Nisar Hana, this Bilus, Nisar Hana really connect these two. Now this sugi is very important because this topic comes up all over the place about understanding Nisar Hana and Bilus Nisar Hana, and they always quote this Gemara and the Rashi Ritva here. These are always the two first sources they always quote. That's why it's very important to do this sugya. I was going to get into the din of Kedushin. Comes up a lot in Kedushin and I think the Nun areas about you can't be Mekadesh and Isha b'Isser Hana. And all the Rishonim deal with different reasons why. The same questions and same alumnus comes up there as well, that it's a P'sul Nechef, it's a P'sul Negavra, and also what are the requirements, what do you need for Kedushin? Like by Esser, we need Lachem. We have to accomplish Lachem. When it comes to Kedushin, you have to really accomplish in Nesina. What's considered a Mais in Nesina? What's considered giving something over? I decided not to do that. Maybe tomorrow we'll see if I get to it, but I doubt we'll get into that at all. Okay, fine. So you guys didn't see the Ksos yet, right? Some guys started seeing it. So let's read a little Vayta in the Gemara and the Tosos here. I want to get to this Ksos tomorrow in the Chuvas Rivash, which is very important still on this topic of Bilus B'Isser Hana. They want to know how much when I have something Asur B'Hana, am I able to be Zoche in something Asur B'Hana? That's the question that the Ksos and the Chuvas Rivash and other Rishonim are talking about. Even though something's asur b'hana, there might still be some zechuyos you're able to access. I'll leave that till tomorrow. Let's discuss other issues that you don't have to necessarily see inside. So we discussed in general, we've been talking about isur b'hana in general. Seems to be across the board. Whatever you assume by isur b'hana in this case would be the same by another isur b'hana as well. What about a moder b'hana? Let's say I took upon myself that I cannot get any b'hana from a certain object. Would the same dinim apply, the same lamdas apply, by being moder hana from a specific item? So the Machne Ephraim deals with the shaila. Where's Machne Ephraim? But I had her somewhere. Oh, so Machne Ephraim in Zechia Hefke Simen Dalid, he quotes a bunch of Rishonim in the Durim. Repeat the question? Yeah. So when right now we've been assuming that all Isur Hana are the same. Whatever I assume by Chametz is the same thing I assume by Moder Hana, the same thing I assume by Arlo, by anything Asur B'Hana. It seems to be across the board. So is that exactly? Moder Hana is something unique. It's not, something's different there. And the Machne Ephraim quotes a bunch of Rishonim that seem to say that Moder Hana would actually be different. The question is, why would it be different? Any suggestions why Moder Hana would be different? What, sorry? Different than you might make a certain assumption by Isra Na, by Chametz, let's say, that, hold on a second, that the question of Bilus by Isra Na. So right now we're assuming Machlokas Rashi Ritva, whether there's Bilus by Isra Na. So let's say for Shita's Rashi, who assumes there's no Bilus by Isra Na. Would he say that by every single Isra Na? He says it by Arla, there's no Bilus. Based on a Havamin, what do you mean? Right now, reading Rashi, you would assume across the board all Isra Hana should be the same. Rashi thinks there's no bias for Isra Hana. You shouldn't distinguish at all. Eitan, you want to suggest something?
Yeah, why? If we assume like the Rashi holds that it's a din and the Esra, right? Don't we have a thing by Nidarim that Nidarim by definition are in the Gavra?
So that's right. That's, so you're getting really fancy now, which is great. But understanding like Nidarim versus Shavuos and all those things, right? Whether it's a din in the Chavs or din in the Gavra, which is fantastic. I would say along those same lines, it's a little different than din in the Chavs, that Moder Hana, let's say you assume like Eitan saying that saying Asir B'Hana is possible, it's a din in the Chavs, right? Tzulos in the Chavs, it has no Shavaputa, or it's Afra B'Alma. And that might only be the case when something inherently is Asur B'Hana. Arla, the Torah tells us, Arla is Asur B'Hana. It's grown. But Moder Hana is something artificial. It's not inherent in the Chepta that it grew in the third year. I created the Isra Hana. The Gavra, the Torah didn't create it. It was me. It's not inherent to the Chepta. In fact, something, if I Moder Hana from this fruit, everybody else here could access it and get Hana from it. This Chepta is not possible inherently. Arla, nobody could get Hana from. as a chefta, it's usher to every single person. So I can understand then why there's no bias by Isser Hana b'chefta and all types of Isser Hana. But there's yesh lacher, there's room to say that by moder Hana, it'll be mutter. Because it's not inherent to the chefta itself. I said to myself, moder Hana is as follows. When I say, I'm making a nether that I cannot get Hana from this apple. This apple is usher b'Hana only to me. It's mutter to everybody else in the world. So since this chefta really be'etzem, it's really mutter to the world. So you won't necessarily, it's not a strong iser b'chefta, so you might still say there's bilus by moder Hana. So that's in fact what the Machaneh Ephraim basically says. Now not clear? That's how much I say it again? That the difference of moder Hana versus other iser Hana is as follows. Iser Hana normally is a psul nechepta. The Torah tells us that this object is asur b'hana. It's been created by the Torah. It becomes strong and becomes part of the chepta. Arla is asur to the entire world. This, as an object, is asur to every single person. Kelayim is asur to every single person. Whatever it is that the Torah tells us is asur b'hana, it's asur to every single person in the world. Hamoder hana, when I say I'm taking upon myself only that this object is asur to me, that's only asur to me. It's not inherently usher. If you look at this apple's mutter. It's mutter to you, it's mutter to you, it's mutter to you, it's mutter. It's a mutter. As a gavra, I cannot eat it. I created an isser and the gavra, similar to what Eitan was trying to get at, that in the dharm is the isser and the gavra. Right, that's what you're saying? The isser, the guy, it's usher for me to get hana from this apple, but as a chefza, this apple is an usher. So therefore, since this apple, be'etzim, is really mutter, I could have bilus on such an object. I'm having bilus on a mutter object. So Rashi might say here that no, by a moder hana, there actually would be bilus. So even though in general Rashi says there's no bilus by things that are asur b'hana, a moder hana is different because it's mutter la'achirim. In other words, it's not possible b'chefta. It's not inherent to the chefta. That's basically how I understand, at least, what the Machaneh Ephraim is saying. Based on this, the Nesivus wants to make Nesivus and Reish Ayin Hei on the same distinction, he's working off the Machaneh Ephraim, that somehow a Moder Hana is different than other Yisuri Hana. He gets onto a different topic, and he says as follows, that that Moder Bahana, there's bilus on it, not because it's mutter to other people, because the mechanism is different. It's normally Yisuri Hana is viewed as hefker, like Afrodama, I'm mafkir. I relinquish my rights to something. That's what Isur Hana is, many Rishonim compare to Hefker. Something Asur Hana is Hefker. But the Nesivus writes that something when I'm Moder Hana on something, it's actually like Yish. Yish is when I basically give up. Another mechanism of relinquishing rights. It's very similar to Hefker. Give up hope. Some Rishonim think Hefker and Yish are the same. Others think they're different. So he thinks the Nesivus is assuming, like Shitas Tosos, that Hefker and Yish are different things. Hefker works as follows. When I'm Mafkir something, it's completely out of my Rishos. But when I'm Yayish, when I give up hope on something, I still have strings attached until somebody else picks it up. So again, Hefker, there's a different distinction. Hefker is that when I relinquish rights, it's gone. I have no Shai Chassid anymore. When I'm miyayish on something, when I give up hope, I still have some connection to it until someone gets it. Anybody's allowed to get it, they could come take it ba'karcha. They could take it against my will because I gave up hope, but I still have strings attached and where I still have shaychas to it. And that's moder hana is different, and that's why there's bilus by moder hana. Different than the Machaneh Ephraim. Let me say it one more time. So the Machaneh Ephraim, right, the difference is because one the psul and the chefza, and others the psul really in the gavra. And Nesivus writes, now the mechanism is different. When it comes to all Isuri Hana, those are kehefker. It's a similar type of chilek, but different terminologies. It's a din hefker, and something who's moder hana from a particular object is really through the mechanism of yesh, and that's why there's bilus. Yeah.
Go on.
So,
would that be saying that when something has an Isur, when something is Isur Hana, or whatever, inherently, that's like an involuntary form of hefker? That's basically how he's understanding?
Yeah.
I'm in, like, I'm not actually being mafka.
There's no mice hefka, but the
you get the status of hefka,
exactly.
Even though I'm having das to do that.
Exactly. The end result is hefka, even though there was no mice hefka.
Okay.
I don't understand why is there no like yes. I understand that they both like if you say the word then they both have vitals, but like why compare to yesh in the first place?
So you have to read through him. I don't want to spend time on it right now, but I'm just giving that exact. I'm giving the shita. So you guys have seen inside, so I don't want to start going through. I would say definitely take a look and then see if it's kedai. Look through and we could talk about it. But that's his. That's the end result. Yeah.
Can you explain is there a difference between the two in regards to the guy's bilus over the object? They both agree that the guy when he's mother, I know he still has bilus over the object.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they're explaining it differently, though.
Right.
I mean, the Nesivus is having he's making a chiddush in how Moder HaNoah works. You know, it's a Maisa Yish, and Malchus Ephraim is really talking about the end result. Is it a Psul Nechefsa or Psul Negavra? Let's do one more Chilik. We just explained how a Moder HaNoah might be more Mekil than other dinim, that even though normally Rashi thinks there's no bilus by Yisrael, no, he would admit by Moder HaNoah there would be bilus, because it's for the reasons we explained. Now for the Rishat and Shitas Ritva, who thinks there is bilus by Yisrael HaNoah, right, he's the one who argued on Rashi, he says, no, something could be Aser B'HaNoah and it could still be qualified as Lachem, because we said Ritva holds to dinim having the title. It's not about the ability to access something necessarily, to use something, but it's about having the title. And since I have the title of this Esrog, it would be considered Lachem. So would the Ritva say that across the board? By all Isurei HaNoah, would you say there's Bilus? So the Chassam Sofer, I have to read it again to say all the Rayas. The Chassam Sofer writes as follows in Or HaChaim Kufay that every Isurei HaNoah would have Bilus for the Ritva except for the Issur Chametz. Issur Chametz, there would be no Bilus. Issa Chametz is different. Any suggestions why Issa Bias would be different?
Issa Chametz is a specific, like, special Issa that the Torah specifically, like, automatically takes it out of your possession. Like, the whole idea of doing, like, Tashbisu is that you have to once, normally, automatically, it's out of your possession, so why do you even have to do anything to get out of by Matzai? So the idea is that you have to do Tashbisu because the Torah specifically puts it back into your Shus.
Would that be the reason to make the Israel no stronger? So, to make it, if it puts it back in your Rishus,
no,
I may want to say.
In the sense that you say normally you would have bias, you're saying.
Right, normally you would have bias, right.
But specifically with Chametz, since it's not able to be in your Rishus, well, I don't know, maybe because it's also not moved to the rest of the year, so there's more concern.
So that's already a Gzera point. That would actually be a reason to think that Chametz would be more Mekel. In general, the discussion by Chametz, the Rishonim argue, and Achronim, whether Isser Chametz is worse or better than a normal Isser HaNa. So you're suggesting, what you just said about all year round.
Right.
Okay. But I'll say it anyway, once you said it, that since Chametz is actually unique, when something's Aser B'Hana, like Arla, it's Aser forever. Anything Aser B'Hana, Basar B'Chalav, you cook meat and milk together, it's Aser forever. It's Aser Li'olam. Chametz is not the case. I have bread. Today it's Mutter. Tomorrow it's Aser. It's Aser for 7 days. And the next day it might be Mutter. Right? Bread is, you know, it's not Aser all year round. Only 7 days a week. So that's a reason to say that maybe the Bilus, I could see the potential of me owning, having Chametz, you know, that potential exists. That's a reason to think that Issur Chametz would be more lenient than other. But Issur Chametz, the Chumrah, the reason to think Issur Chametz is more machmir and there would be no bilus according to everybody might be because Issur Chametz is Aser B'Mashu. It's us, even the smallest amount. It's very potent and powerful. Even the smallest amount of Chametz does not get batal. It ruins the whole pot of everything. And that potency highlights the strength of the Issur HaNoah and then may translate into the lack of bilus, even according to the Ritva, who normally thinks you can have bilus over Issur HaNoah. Chametz is different because of the Mashu.
Hey, just because it has a chomer, din, so like would assume that it's chomer in other areas, or there's a connection.
Right. So I'm not sure. I have to read the Chassam Sofer again. So I'm not sure. I'm not even sure if that's what he says. I'm suggesting people say in general. I've got to see what his basis is, because I don't remember what it says, and I didn't get a chance to look at it this morning. Yeah.
Why does that translate to not having violence over?
But that's basically what he was saying. So it could, right. So it could be just simply that the strength of the Isser Hana, the further away it is from me, the power. I'm not sure it's further away, but it requires a little more hesber. You're right. Somehow that stringency may indicate the lack of bilus. But good question. Okay. Fine. So that basically sums up the bias by Isser Hana. We have to just get to tomorrow, Mirta Hashem, the Ktos, which quotes the Rivash, and there are other Rishonim, which are not the Ma'amar Kamos, about understanding Zechia when it comes to Isser Hana. Now, we do have a few minutes left. Maybe it's worth just reading. Do you guys see the Tos? We should read through the Tos a little bit, maybe. Some Haros. You guys read through that? Should we read through the Tos quickly? Fine. So, yeah. Oh. No, we could ask now. Really?
Yeah.
A question on Tosfos?
So.
Okay, fine, great. Eitan has a question on Tosfos. So, we're going to read a Tosfos to get to Eitan's question. You going to read Tosfos, Eitan?
No, I was going
to call him. Alright, who should I call him? Okay, fine. So Tosfos Lefisha Imba Heter Achila. So Tosfos, on Laman Haman Aleph, he quotes Rashi, he writes, Rachmana Amar Lachem Haroi Lachem. That has to be yours, that's Roy for you. Bechol Darche Anasan. And since it's Asar Bechila, it's not considered Lachem because you don't have every ability to get Hana from it. The Afagav, the Gavi Truma Timea Darshin and Perak Bamamalikin, even though by Truma Timea, Midichsiv Lacha Shalchatia, Lisasika Tachas Tafshilcha, that Truma Timea is mutter to you, you can use it, you could use it to burn the fire underneath something you're cooking. Came into Nitmas, once it gets Tame, normally with Truma Torah you have to eat it. The Kohen has to eat it. If it becomes Tame, you're allowed to burn it to help cook your food. The Asra Kasuv, Shach Lidros Lacha Didei, the Gavishar Nos Kumalachem, Ilula of Dilo Shach Beachila. Okay, fine. So he writes as follows. And what's his question here? Even though by Truma Tameya, it says lecha, it should be yours. That you should have lachem oshem lecha. You should be able to access it, using it to burn under the cooking. Since it gets tamei and the Torah asks it, you could say lecha didei. It should really be yours. You should be able to use it. The gavishar knows. Kimo lachem delulav delo shayach beachila. So whenever achila is not relevant, you're not able to eat it because shuma tamei you can't eat. Lulav you can't eat it. So then you can make a drasha for lachem for a different purpose. It's not very important part of Tosfos, but fine. The next piece is much more important for our sugyas. Vim tomer gavi lulav she'asherah v'she'ir nedachas. A lulav that's an asherah that was worshipped for avodah zarah, and a lulav that was part of a whole city, in nedachas, a whole city that was used for avodah zarah. Lama lan taima demechtas ashira tepikle yishum debi'inan din mamon. Why did the Gemara earlier say the reason why a lulav shel asherah and a lulav she'ir nedachas is pasul? It said because it has no shear to it anymore. Kemechtas shira. Since these things are destined to be burnt, it lacks its shear. That's the reason the Gemara says those are pasul by lulav, since it's omed l'sreifa. Tosfos asks, tepiklei mishum debe'inan din mamon. Say no, the reason why it's pasul because you require din mamon, like the Gemara here says. You need a din mamon, you have to own it. Even according to the Man Damer here, who says you don't need a din mamon, gavi esrog l'din mamon hayinu mishum deikar l'achila. That's because the main purpose of esrog is for eating. That's the reason why you may not require din mamon by esrog. You'd prefer the din achila by esrog. Aval lulav deles be achila, but lulav where it's not shayach achila at all. Then you would say lachem is necessary for lulav for mamon. I mean, lachem could be interpreted in two ways. Lachem could be for mamon. Lachem could be for achila. So when it comes to esrog, you could pick either one because esrog could be eaten and it could also be used for achila. When it comes to understanding lulav, lulav can't be eaten. It's not edible. So lachem must be used for mamon. If lachem is the reason why you need mamon because of lachem, so why the Gemara say the reason why asherah is pasul is because mechtas shira, because it's omei l'sreifa. It's supposed to be burned. The Gemara should have said the reason why it is pasul because it has no mamon. The Gemara says the reason why yesh lomar denoket mechtas shira kidei lifso b'yom tov sheni. The reason why the Gemara used lashon mechtas shira because the psul of lachem, if it had no mamon, lachem only applies to day one. So you would think lulav shel hasheir is only possible day one. It would be possible the entire week. Comes along mechta shira to say, no, it has no shir at all. It's actually possible the entire week. So the nafkamina is whether you use lachem or whether you use mechta shira would be whether the other days are possible or not. So now, bringing back to our Rashi thinks the reason why these things are possible is because Arlo is possible because lachem, it would only be a psul on day one. According to the Ritva, we didn't read the rest of the Ritva inside, and we'll see in a moment, Tosas, who thinks the psul here is really mechta shira, it has no shir because omei l'sreifa, the psul would apply the rest of the week as well. Okay? Fine. Now getting vaita, now this is the real juicy stuff, we'll probably do a few sugars in these lines of Tosas, so let's just read it inside. Vim tomar esok shel arla tepikle de mechta shira de mitzvasa b'sreifa. So esok shel arla, the Gemara should use the reason of mechta shira, that esok has to, something arla, there's a mitzvah to burn arla. If there's a mitzvah to burn arla, so it's mechta shira, there's no shir, it should be possible because of mechta shira, it shouldn't, why bring the sukkim of lachem? How do you know it's arla's mitzvah of b'sreifa? Because chashiv leib b'tumura perek basar b'hadeya nisrafim. There's a mission at the end of Tumura which has a list of things that there's a mitzvah to burn certain isuri hana. On that list is arla, that arla has to be burnt. Among other isuri hana, arla is one of those things that you have to burn it. Some things you have to bury, some things you have to burn. Arla you have to burn. Marmin hasam hanisrafim lo yikvaru. And it says there, those things that get burnt cannot be buried. The efshir da afilu midaraisa have the arla b'sreifa. It's possible even that arla has to be burnt on a deraisa level. So this tosis is very important because there are two dayas. He says it just very quickly. There are two dayas when the mitzvah of sreifas arla is a din deraisa or a din derabanan. The first opinion he says it's just a din derabanan arla, and he says efshir it's possible it's even a din deraisa to burn arla. They have a di alfina mikilei akerim dechse be pen tukdash. With Arshinan pen tukat esh, the pasuk by Kilei Akerem, when you crossbreed and you graft grapes with other fruit, with other vegetables rather, the pasuk says pen tukdash, and the Gemara drasha is pen tukat esh. You have to put it on a fire. And you have to burn Kilei Akerem, and there's a gzeira shava. There's a connection of Kilei Akerem to arla. So just like Kilei Akerem is a mitzvah deraisa shreifa, also there's a mitzvah deraisa burning arla as well. That's what Tosus is getting at. So there are two days in Tosus whether or not Sreifas Arla is deraisa or derabanan. Now that being said, umihai time anami pasal esok shel truma tameya the mitzvah so besreifa v'lamalan taima dehat derachila. And furthermore, truma tameya is also something that is a mitzvah to burn truma tameya. And Tosus doesn't allude to the discussion whether that's deraisa or derabanan. We'll get to that in another sugya. That also is a discussion whether the mitzvah to burn truma tameya, truma that's supposed to be given to a kohen. It gets tame, it's tame now, you can't eat it, Kohen can't eat it now, so you have to burn it. There's a mitzvah to burn it. The question is that also deraisa derabanan? All that being said, arla and shuma tameya both have to be burnt. It has to be burnt, so you should. The Gemara should have said the reason why it's possible is because of mechtas tashira, because it has no shir. Why is the Gemara saying the reason why these things are possible for an esem? Because it lacks heter achila. And maybe we'll stop here to go down for mincha. And maybe tomorrow we'll finish this Tosfos up.